listeners, Lisa, or the Bad Movie Bunny here, and this is a bonus episode that focuses on Junesploitation. What is Junesploitation, you ask? Well, this is the second year that I've done this. I first heard about it on Twitter. The event comes from the blog and podcast F This Movie, which can be found on fthismovie.net and at fthismovie on Twitter. I highly recommend that you check both of them out. For the month of June, each day is marked by a movie genre theme, be it horror or a specific actor or director. Participants are encouraged to select a movie based on the day's theme and to share it online with the Junesploitation hashtag. When I started doing these events, and I really saw this when I participated in the Horror Gives Back Challenge, courtesy of Erica and Lance from the Unsung Horrors podcast, I noticed that I was a little more comfortable podcasting when doing these lightning round style mini reviews. Last year, I did the Junesploitation episode in parts. I'm going to see how this works as one single episode. I also attempted to avoid movies that I'd already seen, and it was tempting to pick old favorites as there are some genres I'm a little picky about, and I'll get into that as I go, but overall I think I succeeded. Let's get into it. Day 1's theme was outer space, and I chose 1967's They Came From Beyond Space, which you can find on Tubi. A meteor crashes in an otherwise quiet English town, and a group of scientists investigate, only to be hypnotized and controlled by the meteor. Well, everyone save the lead, who has a plate in his head, shielding him from its glowy, wobbly-sounding hypnotic effects. This was based on Joseph Millard's 1941 novel, The Gods Hate Kansas. I was struck by one scene where a woman on Team Meteor walks into a bank, demands a £1 million loan, and when the banker asks about collateral, he gets a face full of glowy meteor. God, we should all be so gutsy. Hey, here's a vibrating blue rock. Give me £1 million for crackpot research. Well, I wanted something cheesy, and I got it. For some reason, kicking this off with a sci-fi movie from either the 1950s or 60s felt right to me. For day two, I chose 1998's John Carpenter's Vampires, which you can find on Tubi. Westerns are a genre I'm picky about. I search online for titles, and some truly outrageous ones snuck their way in. However, I saw Vampires. I tried to watch this a few times, and either fell asleep or had something else to do. I figure, why not try it again? Now, the first thing that hits me watching was, why did James Woods and crew feel the need to just shoot up a random house in New Mexico, Wild West wannabe style? Prior to being attacked, what did those vampires ever do to them? Maybe they want to check out Roswell, or see an observatory. There's plenty to do in New Mexico beyond fine dining. All the same, Cheryl Lee was pretty good, and any time I saw James Woods on screen, I kept thinking of his guest voice appearances on Family Guy. Alright, not one of the better choices. And while I didn't fall asleep, I wasn't exactly riveted to the screen. The fog, it was not. Day 3's theme was Kung Fu, and I chose 2021's Mortal Kombat, which you can find on HBO Max. I played the game as a kid, and I wanted to see this. The special effects were okay, and Louis Tan was pretty good in it, and he looked pretty damn cute, too. There were a lot of well-choreographed fight sequences, and if you're a fan of the series, this is a fun one. More importantly, it wasn't that crappy 1995 movie, which could work for Junesploitation. However, I'd already seen it. Day 4 is all about 90s action, and I chose 1993's Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage is a series of fighting video games that I loved as a kid, and I played 4 of them. Picked up the 4th one just recently, actually. I was a little disappointed that this movie was not an adaptation, even though it featured a cop. Overall, I found it to be one of those movies that the Lifetime Movie Network might reject due to a bad story, worse soundtrack, and acting too awful for that or Hallmark. Day 5 was a free space day, and I chose 2021's The Runner, which you can find on Shudder. This is a short film that was the creation of the band Boy Harsher, who I hope to see again later this month. I'd missed a screening of this due to prior obligations, but was pretty happy to hear that this came to Shudder. I did not care whether or not this was going to be a 40-minute music video. I was planted to the couch either way. However, it was a lot more than that. It was surreal, psychological, and the story, while a little disjointed, was very compelling. I saw a few fine notes of Lost Highway as much as I did any slasher movie. And I'd like to see more films from Boy Harsher, and not just for the kick-ass soundtrack. Did I mention I like this band a lot? No? Well, I do, for the record. For day 6, I tried to find a slasher that I didn't see. I ended up choosing 1991's Popcorn, which you can find on Shudder. This took place at a 24-hour movie festival. Hey, wait a minute, this sounds a little like a certain event I attend from time to time. I'm not so sure this qualified as a slasher. It was part William Castle Theatrics, complete with the Killer Automaton, part Cursed Psychic Film, where a cult leader seemingly comes back for revenge, part creepy mask-making, part family secret drama with repressed memories, but I felt there were some missed opportunities with a theater full of idiots and a killer on the loose. Especially at one point when the theater loses power after the obnoxious light tech gets electrocuted. Oh no, they bring out a band and more or less save the festival as the crazy shit happens backstage. All I can say is that if anyone tries anything like that at B-Fest, please wait until I'm napping. I walked into the wrong part of street trash one year, and I wasn't quite the same. I had enough nightmares on that flight home. Day 7 was devoted to Shannon Tweed, and I chose 1994's Hard Vice, which you can find on Tubi. Now, it was a tough call between this and Bimbo Movie Bash, let me tell you. Tubi is a one-stop shop for a lot of weird gems, and it has its share of stinkers too. Now that being said, I was expecting a bad cop movie with every crummy trope in the book. To the shootouts, to the hairy chiefs, yet I was pleasantly surprised. While pretty tropey, with some problematic lines, particularly involving how sex workers were talked about, in a movie with very little sex, Shannon Tweed delivered a solid performance. The movie featured Friday the 13th alums Miguel A. Nunez Jr. and Tom Fridley, as well as Flash Gordon himself, Sam J. Jones. What's a Junesploitation without car movies? So for day 8, the pick was 1957's Drag Strip Girl, which you could find on Tubi. Now, I didn't think anything could possibly top last year's car pick, named the car Road to Revenge, with its cyberpunk aesthetic and Jamie Bamber, but, you know, I need a drag race movie from the 1950s. Plus, it featured a Judy Bamber, who was in Roger Corman's Bucket of Blood later on, but there was no relation that I could find. This also featured Frank Gorshin before he became the Riddler on the Adam West Batman show. Some parts of this movie were pretty corny, but I couldn't help but like that the lead actress did some repairs on the hot rod she drove and asked her competing dates to both come home for dinner. Now, you probably couldn't have an outright three-way in 1950s movies, even B-movies, but you could guess what was going on. She was a little too into fast cars, shall we say. When a mother and baby are nearly killed due to reckless driving, her suitor shook up, but she wants to keep racing. I gotta admit, that felt a little sociopathic. Day 9 featured monsters, and I chose 2012's Bigfoot, which you can find on Tubi. Now, I had my pick of possible Bigfoot features, but I went with the one that featured Sherilyn Fenn, Danny Bonaducci, and Alice Cooper. Well, if I'm not too careful, my upper lip, eyebrows, etc., indicate my being related to Bigfoot. When the game Yetisburg hit shelves, one of the first things that I said was that was no way to talk of my family reunions. That said, I'm very glad that Cousin Bigfoot is doing well and making movies. I just wish I didn't pick this one. I grew up in Connecticut and lived in New Haven for several years. There's an individual with a Bigfoot suit, and they were seen in key hotspots in both downtown New Haven and the Yale campus, alongside other parts of the state. That person should have been in the title role of this monstrosity. But hey, budget movie CGI is cheaper, I guess. And we can make a point of Bigfoot being unnecessarily large. I guess the budget can go to the backdrop of the titular quote-unquote rock festival that an elementary school orchestra might refuse. Was that stage made of the wooden waxing sticks I use on my chin to further hide my own Bigfoot heritage? I did a better job on the toothpick bridge that I bungled in a high school math class. If you want cheese with no gore and a cameo of Alice Cooper as himself, I guess this movie's for you, but you'd have to believe that Alice would go to a rickety festival and get punted by Bigfoot instead of the other way around. I mean, it seemed like the cast had fun making it. The category for day 10 is sex comedies, a theme I don't really like. I figure, why not John Waters and Divine? So I chose Multiple Maniacs. It counts. I laughed. And it's John Waters and Divine. Enough said. Polyester is one of my favorite Waters movies, but I'm glad I finally got to see this. It had a little something for everyone. Drugs, eating puke and body parts, subversive performance art intense, which lead to armed robbery and murder. This was shot in black and white with full melodrama and crucifixion. What was not to love? There's even a giant cockroach. This could cover a couple of Junesploitation themes. Day 11 was a free space, and despite my resolve to watch only movies I hadn't seen, or at least hadn't seen all the way through, I chose 2020's Death Drop Gorgeous, which you can find on Shudder. It was too good to pass up. I've reviewed this before on the podcast, and what's there to say that I and others haven't already? I really, really liked this when I saw it. Not just as any horror movie or gateway drug to Dragula, which you should see if you have Shudder and love drag, as well as horror movies. There's action, there's weird death sequences, one of which involved a meat grinder, and unforgettable characters that any cast would love playing. I'm interested in seeing how a staged Haters Roast and Shady Tour would play out. I'd happily sit in that splatter row. Day 12's theme was prison, and I chose 2003's Beyond Reanimator, which you can find on Tubi. Believe it or not, I hadn't seen this, and Cthulhu isn't doing time for shoplifting. It begins with two boys camping in a backyard, one of which is telling his more gullible friends scary stories about how retinas record the last thing they see. Cut to a reanimated corpse going into the house and killing the kid's older sister as he watched. His pal had enough sense to call the police. A few years later, this kid grows up and becomes a doctor at a death row ward. He meets Herbert West and a warden who is way too into a pretty reporter and way, way too into his electric chair. Wackiness, bolts, and crazy zombie action ensues as this new doctor requests to work with West, and turns out he's the surviving kid the night West was arrested. Jeffrey Combs delivered again as Herbert West, but I kinda wish this was scared straight with Cthulhu. Day 13's theme was Italian horror, and I chose 1963's The Whip and the Body, which you can find on Shudder. Okay, well, this one had everything. You start off with a beach, a castle on a beach, and a man riding into the sunset beach castle to seek forgiveness from one dysfunctional noble. Okay, Christopher Lee or not, if that were my kid, his ass would be out of my beach castle. He seduced and abandoned a servant's young daughter, which resulted in her suicide. And I'm willing to bet he did some other shitty things to the servants. As the brother, the servants, and pretty much the whole household were giving him the noble side eye, especially as he kisses the hand of his prospective sister-in-law, who he used to be with, and is now marrying the brother on the father's orders. And this is to the upset of the cousin crazy about the brother. Wait, hold on. I knew that marrying cousins happened in noble European families of the time, but there's enough family drama. As Lee is on his lover turned to soon-to-be sister-in-law, quite literally with a whip, before rough beach action. Later, she's found unconscious on the beach, and the asshole noble is found dead by way of knife in the throat. The same knife the servant's daughter used to kill herself. As the dysfunctional noble household tries to figure out who done it, the ghost of the sadistic son of a bitch haunts his lover, his sister-in-law, the lovesick cousin with the brother. Nothing happened, but you know what he meant by said we could still be happy. Oh, come on, break off that fucking engagement. Both Lee and Baba delivered a solid film, but it struck me more as Lifetime fare than horror. I'm a little surprised that poison wasn't used, but the dagger had a more dramatic effect and looked better on screen, I guess. Either way, I'm very glad to live alone. For day 14, I chose 1975's Friday Foster. Honestly, one could have a whole theme devoted to Pam Grier. She plays a former model that took a career behind the camera. Her boss calls her up for a few photos of a billionaire. Friday ends up photographing a shootout. Well, the big boss is happy. Her immediate supervisor is pouty, and one of her model friends ends up killed during a fashion show. Pretty soon, there's a few killers after Friday, and it's murder, politics, and action galore. Somebody deserves a very big promotion after this. I'm just happy I didn't have to shout, "Get away from this guy," and "Ride away from the castle" this time around. I like a no-nonsense leading lady. I also like that Eartha Kitt played an exuberant and eccentric fashion designer. She had some fun with that role and stole every scene she was in. Day 15's theme was bugs, and I chose 2017's It Came from the Desert, which you can find on Tubi. I was in it for giant bugs. I didn't need stupid desert party backstory or motorbike racing. CGI aside, it wasn't horrible, but that bug should have caused some more mayhem. Day 16 was devoted to 80s action, and I chose 1982's Class of 1984. Well, if the Dead Kennedys' Nazi Punks Fuck Off wasn't a favorite song, it was after seeing the antagonists of this movie. Rapey, racist to a point where one wears a swastika on his shirt and makes Nazi salutes among the slurs dropped. And of course, they're all violent. One teacher tries to do his damn job only to be terrorized by these little shits. I cheered when said teacher fucked up the leader's car. One, played by Roddy McDowall, had a nervous breakdown and held a gun to some of them to get them to answer questions in class. I don't believe a film like this will ever be made again today, but there are some takeaways from this one. Cops are no help. Punch Nazis and pay teachers. Day 17 was devoted to Lucio Fulci, and my pick was A Cat in the Brain, which is from 1990 and can be found on Tubi. Well, there were kitties, and they looked like animatronic puppets eating brain matter right out of the gate. Cut to what is clearly part of a woman's leg being cooked on a hot plate. Well, at least the villain's using seasoning, I guess. The protagonist is a movie director who doesn't believe his horror effects are real enough. But they're real to the villain who's imitating his movies. Well, whatever the director says, I was grossed out by the meat effects. I'm more a devoted vegetarian for watching this. Day 18 was devoted to the Canon Distribution Company, and I chose 1985's Fool for Love, which you can find on Tubi. This was based on a play by Sam Shepard, who stars as Eddie, who is just a poor, misunderstood, lonely guy that very likely cheated on love interest May, played by Kim Basinger, and breaks down the door to her motel room after looking for her in the window. A lot of booze, push and pull, and angry fights follow. I'm sorry, I don't care how many miles you traveled to go get your woman, if she ran off, breaking down the door as she is hiding in the bathroom is not acceptable behavior. I kinda wish that the other woman in the picture was able to shoot this guy in the arm when she showed up to the motel angry. I can get that the idea was to show a volatile relationship, but Eddie needed a good kick in the head, possibly by one of his horses as he was practicing lasso tricks in a cramped motel diner. Both Kim Basinger and Harry Dean Stanton gave good performances, and they were the main reason that I watched. Day 19 was a free space, and I chose Class of 1999, which you can find on Tubi. I guess now that I saw Class of 1984, I should see Class of 1999? Well, as it turned out, I like this a lot more. There is something about a cyberpunk dystopian high school requiring cyborg teachers with a variety of martial arts moves, and no problem using them. These kids are leaving assault weapons at the door, and no one seems to care when the teachers go haywire. So long as those gang kids behave, am I right? The question of corporal punishment came up during a round of robot spankings by one teacher, but the robotics people think this is fine. This was pretty well done, and it was disturbing, but the cast was pretty good. This included Pam Grier, Stacy Keach, and Malcolm McDowell, who was only on set filming for 2 days. Bradley Gregg, who was in A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, did a great job portraying a gang member trying to reform after a stint in juvie. I also liked the soundtrack, which featured Midge Ure of Ultravox. Even he didn't like the song or the movie, as well as an early appearance by Nine Inch Nails. Day 20 was devoted to regional horror, and I chose 2021's Hellbender, which you can find on Shudder. This has been on my to-watch list for a long time, and what better opportunity? This takes place in a mountainous region, very isolated to a point where the main character's mother goes into town for supply runs, and the occasional vaporizing of any trespassers that happen by. But when Mom isn't casting spells and turning random people into ash after levitating them, she's in a metal band with her daughter Izzy. Well, until Izzy decides that she wants friends of her own and starts hanging out with and drinking with a neighborhood girl. Mom does not care for this, as both she and her daughter are witches. Hilarity and more levitation ensue. I'd make a double feature of this with Mommy Dearest, and all in all a great movie. Day 21 was devoted to Jackie Chan, and I chose 1992's Twin Dragons, which you can find on Tubi. Last year's Jackie Chan movie, City Hunter, involved a fight scene where he dressed as Chun-Li from Street Fighter. Now this is a tough act to follow, as this was also a better adaptation as the Street Fighter movie released. I will die on this hill. Twin Dragons is an action comedy where Chan plays a set of twins separated at birth only to reunite as adults. One is a staid concert musician and conductor, and the other a flamboyant car racer and the kind of guy that can't walk away from a fight or lose them. There are a lot of great choreographed fighting scenes, even when bordering on absurd, as well as some fun one-liners. No cosplay moments, but I enjoyed it. Day 22 was devoted to Lethal Ladies, and I chose 1981's Lovely But Deadly, which you can find on Tubi. Remember what I said about finding stinkers on there? So what in the after-school special hell was that? A high school girl decides to go after drug dealers when her brother ODs and drowns. She manages to take down a creepy dealer with a video camera, but the main guy is a football player with a harem and for some reason is untouchable. Okay. Poor acting, crappy soundtrack, and I did not buy that premise. The cuts were weird too. 1 minute a guy is drowning and then there's a sudden jump to a school dance. Someone was smoking something good in the editing room. Day 23 3 is devoted to Giallo, and I chose 1963's Evil Eye. You can find this on Shudder. This is a Mario Bava movie, so I knew I was going to get a good murder mystery if nothing else. Our heroine is visiting family in Italy. She has a tendency to get too into her mystery novels. Plus, aforementioned family died, so when she sees a stabbing, she's more or less laughed off by the police and doctors, including her new boyfriend, played by John Saxon. Then, it starts to look like she's seeing ghosts of a murder from 10 years ago. Eventually, it's proven she's not crazy. Great movie, bad medical advice. Day 24 was about 90s comedy, and I chose 1993's Love Bites, which you can find on Tubi. Now, do I dare try another movie with Adam Ant after Spellcaster and Full Moon burned me last October? Fuck it, we're doing this. Why, I don't know, but I wasn't too into the movie, nor was I in a place to bother. Day 25's theme was revenge, and I chose 1998's Necromancer, which you can find on Tubi. I saw previews of this on a Night Flight clip page. I should probably get a full-on subscription at some point, but since this was on Tubi, away we go. A drama student is attacked, and no one believes her, as aforementioned rapey son-of-a-bitch attacker is rich, and she had an affair with her drama professor. And frankly, women are usually not believed now, less so in 1988. Enter a newspaper ad for a necromancer. I don't know why a newspaper ad was warranted, as there was a giant cheap red curtain with a pentagram in full view. I'd have gotten a good laugh out of what the neighborhood watch might have had to say about it, but it's likely a flying magical axe hit any complainer in the head, as it did for an unsatisfied customer in the beginning of the movie. Bad soundtrack, cheesy effects, and villains you wanted to see killed off. It's bad horror, and so bad it's funny and entertaining. Did I mention I need to subscribe to Night Flight at some point? Day 26 was another free space, and I chose 2022's The Janes, which you can find on HBO Max. My original idea was to go with 1996's Bad Moon on Tubi, but Roe v. Wade was overturned on that Friday. I wasn't having the best day on top of the news cycle. This is a documentary about 7 women that were part of a clandestine network to aid women seeking safe but illegal abortions using safe houses, code names, and even blindfolds. Even under arrest, they still set out to do this. It was a powerful account and something everyone should watch. Day 27 was devoted to Albert Pune, and I chose 1986's Vicious Lips, which you can find on Tubi. Why the hell they decided to name their lead character Judy Jetson, I'll never know. Then again, she was taken from her school talent show to this club and made lead singer. The soundtrack was fun, but I thought I was watching the love child of Forbidden Planet and Legend as conceived in a club bathroom at one point. I did like the use of naming the club The Dream and both wordplay and how it worked into the conclusion of the movie. Even though it can make you wonder what the hell you just watched and was I drinking cough syrup? Well, Pune knows how to make cult movies, and I'm kind of shocked I didn't see this at B-Fest. Day 28 was devoted to 80s horror, and I chose 1989 Society, which you can get on Tubi. Well, there's a genre where the list of movies I haven't seen is dwindling. While I already knew of a certain gruesome scene, I never saw this movie. Well, if one didn't live by the adage of eat the rich in this day and age, you might after watching this, provided some of these special effects don't give you nightmares. The effects in question were very well done. Day 29 was devoted to sword and sorcery. Basically D&D style fantasy movies, which I don't really like all that much. Either way, I chose 1983's Deathstalker. There's a Deathstalker scorpion, and I wish to hell they made a movie about it instead of whatever the hell this was supposed to be. The fantasy movies of this time were sexist, hack and slashed out like many a button masher video game or bad one-shot tabletop mod. If this is a topic next year, I'm just going to play Dragon Age instead. Day 30 was devoted to direct-to-TV movies, and I chose 2011's Grave Encounters, which you can find on Shudder. Gotta love the found footage movies. I like the first Blair Witch movie, and found footage can be an interesting way to tell a story. Going in as the creators of a paranormal reality TV show to a haunted asylum, it comes across as a little cliche and doesn't inspire me to root for these people. The caretaker shows the crew the darkened halls and warns them it'll get darker at night as the lights don't work. Okay, how is this not a red flag for these people? I guess anything for good TV. And a lack of lights mean we don't have to prove lack of paranormal activity. I mean, atmosphere! Trouble was, the ghosts were real and very pissed. If you're into found footage and horror based on reality television, definitely watch it. Well, for direct-to-video, I've seen worse. Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes comes to mind. This movie needed more ghosts. Well, thus ends this episode of the Bad Movie Bunny Podcast. If you'd like to find more content, you can visit my blog at www.badmoviebunnies.com or follow me on Twitter as @BadMovieBunnies. Until then, thank you for listening, and tune in next time. But before I bounce, here's a few words from the Prescribed Films Podcast Network. Thanks again, and check them out.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal: providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.